Now, the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has accepted an invitation to meet with the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. British and Irish officials are currently working on a date for the bilateral, but the Irish government is making it clear today that the encounter will not involve the renegotiation of the withdrawal agreement or the backstop. I've been speaking to former Taoiseach and former EU ambassador to the United States, John Bruton, to get his views on the evolving situation. I began by asking him for his assessment first of the current state of Anglo-Irish relations.
Well, it's not good in the sense that we are in profound disagreement, because within British politics there has been a commitment on the one hand to the Belfast Agreement with all sorts of things that that requires to be possible, and then a commitment to Brexit, which renders much of what the Good Friday Agreement envisages impossible. And that contradiction in British thinking is causing a problem. They haven't resolved the two commitments that they made, the one to Good Friday and the other to Brexit. And I think it's for them in the first instance to come forward with proposals on this, which they haven't done. And in the absence of such proposals, yes, there is a difficult relationship at the moment. But this will be overcome. No matter what happens, the two islands are beside one another, and we've got to develop new structures for relations with a post-Brexit Britain, if that has to be done.
What about the rhetoric coming from the government here when you have the Taoiseach musing about a united Ireland and warning about the possible breakup of the union? What does that do to, you know, impact on diplomacy?
Well, I think the breakup of the union is a matter entirely for the United Kingdom, and it's not a matter for us to speculate upon. But the issue of a united Ireland, obviously, if it were to come about, it would have huge implications for us, and we're very much entitled to be taking an interest in that. Now, opinion polls in Northern Ireland, which were taken several months ago, do suggest that people there are perfectly happy to remain in the UK, or a majority are probably happy to remain in the UK if there is if Britain continues in the EU. But if there were a majority would favour United Ireland if there was a no-deal Brexit. At least that's what they said last November in an opinion poll. And I think we do have to take some account of that expression of opinion if it continues to be the view.
But do you think it's wise for the Taoiseach to be talking about these things so soon after you have a new Prime Minister with his feet under the desk in number 10?
Well, my experience from holding the office that he's now holding is that you don't have complete control about what you're talking about at any given time, because once you appear in public, you're going to be asked questions and asked the same question in seven different ways, and you have to answer the questions. And obviously, if the Taoiseach did speculate about the possibility of opinion changing in Northern Ireland in respect of the issue of a united Ireland, he would have been doing that on the basis of the opinion data that I've just referred to. And I think that, you know, if you're asked a question like that, you have to answer it.
Okay, now, it looks like we're either heading towards a general election in the UK in September or a possible crash-out Brexit in October. What do you see as the most likely scenario emerging?
I'm really puzzled. I don't know. I think, on balance, the most likely outcome is a no-deal Brexit. On the other hand, there is a majority in Parliament that is against that. Can that majority override the Prime Minister? And how can it override the Prime Minister? These are the questions. Can they, for example, pass legislation requiring him to look for an extension of the period while Britain is still in the EU and still negotiating? And can he stymie that by asking the Queen not to sign the legislation? If he does that, he'll be doing something that hasn't been done, I understand, since 1708 with the Scottish Militia Bill and Queen Anne. I think, you know, having to go back to youth precedents that are that ancient and that dubious, because that was in the wake of civil conflict in Britain and the Jacobite Wars and so forth, I think that would not be a good way for the UK to be doing its business. I hope that a majority opinion in Parliament will be able to express itself and that Britain will step back from the brink.
And what about us then? What about the Irish government? Does the Irish government have any obligation to seek to put forward a compromise on the backstop or look for any other sort of compromise, given the potential disastrous consequences for Ireland if the UK government refuses to blink? Or are we just to sit and become bystanders to what's happening in Parliament in the UK?
No, the position that the European Union has taken is a position that we have agreed to and taken ourselves. And it was always possible, once we took that position, that Britain might not accept it, even though their government did accept it. It's important to say their government did accept the backstop. And Parliament, many members in Parliament, including the current Prime Minister, voted for an agreement which contained the backstop. What's happened is that there's been a change in British politics, at least in the Conservative Party, although not a change in the opinion of Parliament. The question really is, you can negotiate with somebody who wants to negotiate with you. And the only way you can judge whether somebody wants to negotiate with you is not by megaphone diplomacy, but by sitting down in a room and talking to them. I don't know whether the European Union has an interlocutor in Boris Johnson that wants to negotiate with it. At the moment, he's setting preconditions which would suggest that he's not interested in negotiation. And if that's the way it is, there's nothing can be done. There's no point making offers to somebody who doesn't want to negotiate with you in a serious fashion.
Presumably, though, he will want to negotiate after there's a crash-out Brexit because of the economic harm done to the UK and indeed to the European Union. If that happens, you've been making the point this weekend that negotiating a new agreement, that could take several years.
Well, a new trade agreement will take several years anyway. The existing transition agreement in the existing withdrawal agreement is actually too short to allow a serious negotiation between the UK and the EU to take place, because this will be the most complex trade negotiation that has ever been undertaken in human history because of the close interlinking that there is between the UK and the rest of the European Union. And all of these things will have to be reset one by one, issue by issue, comma by comma, full stop by full stop. It will be an enormously complicated negotiation. Now, the question is, what are the best conditions in which to start such a negotiation? If you start it having had a withdrawal agreement that's been accepted, it's going to be a lot easier because the things in the withdrawal agreement at least won't have to be renegotiated. But if you start it with a no deal, not only all the complex future issues will have to be negotiated, but you'd have to have a negotiation about the things that are already settled in the withdrawal agreement. It's going to be very, very complex. And obviously the UK will suffer the longer there isn't a settlement in this matter, and the longer we haven't got an agreement. The UK will suffer, so will we, of course. One hopes that the UK will see that it's in its own interest to reach an agreement and that Boris Johnson will come forward with constructive ideas, because remember, the UK government has not so far come forward with any constructive alternatives to the backstop or any constructive ideas as to how to protect the spirit and the letter of the Good Friday Agreement in a Brexit situation. They haven't come forward with their ideas, even though Boris Johnson himself has said that he respects the letter and the spirit of the Good Friday Agreement. Well, where are the British ideas about how to implement the letter and the spirit of the Good Friday Agreement after Brexit? We haven't seen them yet.
Finally, John Bruton, you mentioned your own time in the Taoiseach's office. What's your best advice now to Leo Varadkar in this period between now and October 31st as to what he should do?
I think he should stay calm and quiet and wait and remember that he has the support of the European Union, the whole of the European Union, and work with them. And if there are any constructive suggestions from Britain, to respond constructively to those, but to recognise that in a sense, given that this is a British dilemma, there's a British contradiction between two British commitments, one to the Good Friday Agreement, the other to Brexit, that it is for Britain to come forward with its own ideas. Because at the end of the day, Britain has to have ownership of the solution. But if they have not come forward with any solution themselves, they're not going to have ownership of it. They must be encouraged to come forward to confront these issues themselves. And in the meanwhile, we must make it clear to Britain that no matter what happens, we will still want to work constructively with Britain. We'll want to set up new institutions, stronger institutions for East-West cooperation with Britain and for North-South cooperation in the wake of Brexit to repair the damage that is inevitably going to flow from Brexit, no matter how it's negotiated.
And that was former Taoiseach John Bruton speaking to me from the West Cork History Festival in Skibbereen a short time ago. Well, how seriously is the European Union taking Boris Johnson's threat of a no-deal Brexit on October 31st? I've been speaking to former EU Commissioner Danuta Hubner, who is also a Polish MEP and a member of the European Parliament's Brexit Steering Group. And I put that question to her a short time ago.
Well, I can tell you that there's no common sense in this approach, but I think it can happen because, as we all know, leaving without a deal, it does not have to be voted, it does not have to be declared, it can just happen. And clearly the most important factor is time, because to avoid no-deal Brexit, there are still probably some things to do, and there's not much time, because if the Prime Minister wants to involve House of Commons, where I have doubts whether he does, then you need more time than you have. So we can just 31st of October, the Halloween, the scare is just around the corner. So yes, it can happen.
Yes, but you have been tweeting that you said that Boris Johnson is trying to create a feeling in the UK of a no-deal necessity. It is absolutely obvious that no-deal is a tactic. What do you mean by that? Do you think that he's bluffing in the hope that the EU would cut a deal?
I wouldn't go maybe that far as bluffing, but I think it can be just a tactic, hoping that and knowing that no deal for EU from day one was the worst option to happen, that we have never aimed at no deal, that we have from day one actually aimed at orderly withdrawal. So he can assume that under such a threat of no deal, he can soften the position of the EU for the negotiations. But I think we have to understand that the EU position is not a dogma. It's not something that you can just choose to protect the 450 million people, their life, they have achievements, to protect the integrity of the European Union. It's just not something that we are doing for pleasure or to make UK suffer.
You said that the EU position is not a dogma, but that's precisely how the UK is portraying it at the moment, and it is accusing the EU of being rigid and being inflexible and not wanting to enter into a proper negotiation.
Yeah, I mean, if you really reject the deal that we have on the table since November, then I think you should propose something new. And actually, there is nothing new that would be constructive and feasible that is coming from UK so far. So I think, plus the time factor, as I said, so I think there is no time for new deal, no time for negotiations. If the current deal is rejected, then of course the only option might be the no deal option. We, on both sides, we realize, I think, that we have to be really ready in a maximum way for the outcome of the no-deal Brexit. So we just have to talk about it as well.
It's being reported today that Boris Johnson has agreed to meet with the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Do you have any expectation that such a meeting could help to resolve the current difficulties?
I think that's a very good news, because I think it's always, if we talk, we can find a solution. If we don't, then there is the risk of no deal is coming more quickly. So I hope that this is good. Also, I also hope that in Biarritz, there will be, I think, end of July, where there is a chance that some leaders and political leaders of European Union can also talk with Mr. Johnson, that there will be also the traditional EU approach of looking for a compromise, that it will be this type of approach will have place and we will find a solution.
And that was Polish MEP, former EU Commissioner and member of the European Parliament's Brexit Steering Group, Danuta Hubner, speaking to me a short time ago.